night. For many of you have been here every night, and for that I'm honored and I'm amazed. Amen, that you would come back. And for our guests, thank you for coming tonight. And we have a number of preachers here and pastors. We've had some just, I think, every night. And I appreciate you pastors coming and being in the service this evening. That's a real honor that you would be here tonight. I want to look at two passages tonight. If you'll turn with me first to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. For the pastors here, that's in the New Testament, brothers. You'll turn over there about halfway through the New Testament. You'll find the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. In a moment, we're going to turn over to John chapter 20. And I'll give you time to get there. But we'll turn over to there, look at a few passages in just a moment. Had a wonderful day. Had dinner this evening with the Caldwell family. Appreciate them inviting me over. We had wonderful fellowship and enjoyed the meal today. And the pastor was working today. I was on my own, which was fine. I've been working on, you folks have already heard me say, been working on some Chinese tax receipts and things I've got to get in order. So I've had plenty to do. And did a little of exploring today. Got out, and it was a beautiful day. If you're a duck, it was pouring down rain. And so I got out and was driving around, seeing the sights, and ended up in Delaware. And of all things, I'm talking to my wife on the phone and getting in an argument with my wife on the phone today. I know no one else. That's never happened before anybody else. And we got in an argument over a silly thing, really. And so she was asking me where I was at, and I didn't know where I was at. I was just driving. I found the Cabela's. So you know where that was good. I got an amen out of that. And so we got in the arc. She said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I don't know. I saw a sign. I said, I think I'm in Christina, Delaware." And is that not right? See, now, so that was what the argument was about. She said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I think I'm in Christina, Delaware." She said, "I think I've heard of," what did you say? Christiana. That's what she said. She said, "I think I've heard of Christiana, Delaware." And I said, "No, I'm pretty sure the sign said Christina." And we got arguing about it. I said, "Well, just wait a minute, honey. Wait. I said, "I'll just pull over and ask somebody." So I just pulled off. I said, "Just hang on a minute." So I pulled off, walked into the place. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm not from here." Of course, she figured that out. And I said, "Will you please tell me how to pronounce this place?" And she looked at me funny and she said, "Burger King." I told my wife, I said, "We both lost that argument." I don't know how she could tell I wasn't from here, but she figured that out. Mason Dixon, is that right? Is that the name of the group? Okay. I'm from the other end of Mason Dixon. Okay. I'm on the other end. I appreciate you folks coming. The other young folks that sung and played tonight, thank you. Appreciate that. On Monday night, we talked about the value of one. How important is one? And we learned through the scriptures that Jesus felt like one, or he knew that one was very important. Even though he preached to the multitude, and the multitude came to Jesus, he took time out of his busy day, and he focused on one individual, that unlikely one, the woman at the well. And because of her, a multitude came to Christ. On Tuesday night, we talked about getting busy about this thing of sharing the gospel, about having a burden to share the gospel. Last night, we talked about China. I'm a missionary to China. We just took the time and we talked about smuggling Bibles and materials. Why do we do that? How do we do that? And Why do you have to do that to China when China prints more Bibles than any country in the world? Why in the world does people still try to take Bibles into China? And we talked about the need and why we still have to do that. And we talked about volunteers. We had a sign-up sheet for all of you that were not here last night. They signed you up to go to China. So we've got a good group ready to go. I leave to go back to China the end of next month. And then we have another team that will be ready to go in June. We have another team assembled ready to go in September. And we have another team that's already ready to go in December. So we've got a lot of work to do. We've got four teams coming up this year as we get the gospel into mainland China. Not only Bibles, study Bibles, children's Bibles. We take in a number of tracts, gospel tracts that are specific for certain areas. We have some samples of those tonight. If you want to take a look at some of those, we have some down front. If you can read any of them, you definitely need to see me after the service, okay? Because I will sign you up for sure. So pray about that. We have a couple of projects underway. We've talked about that this week. But just to, for those that are here tonight, we have a North Korean shipment that's coming in about 3 weeks to Hong Kong. And we have a dear brother of ours, friend of ours, that's ministering on the border of North Korea and North China. And we have a special shipment for him as he ministers to those North Koreans who've escaped out of North Korea to get to China. Now, I've said this many times, you've got to be in a bad place to escape from to get to China. And they're in a bad place. And so we've got a shipment for them of scriptures. And we pray the Lord will protect that shipment and protect those that are involved in getting that into North Korea. So keep that in prayer if you would, please. I want to get right into the message tonight. You're in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to give you some things tonight through the scriptures that I find, and there's a long list, and I've just narrowed it down, but I want to give you a list of some things that the Lord has for you. He has available to give to you. I have a friend of mine, and we talk quite often. If we're going to do anything or go anywhere, he has a statement he'll say from time to time, and it's just kind of a joke, but he'll always say, "Well, what's in it for me? Well, let's go over here and do this. Well, what's in it for me?" Well, I think we all think that way from time to time. What's in it for me? Well, there's a long list of things that the Lord has available for us as children of God. Now, I'm not in this Christian race just because of what I can get from Him. See, the Lord doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me one single thing. I owe Him everything. But because of His Son, through Jesus Christ, because of Him, there's things that He has made available to me as a child of God. Not because of who I am, but because who Jesus is. You understand that tonight? When God looks at me, He doesn't see Robbie Mullinax. He sees Christ. And because of that, there are some things He has for me. And I want to take advantage of those things. I want to make them prevalent in my life. I think you should too. So I'm going to give you about four things tonight that's available to you as a Christian. Before we get into them, though, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3. This particular chapter, Paul is talking about the mystery of the church. So what's the mystery? Well, the mystery is the Paul and the Jews at that time, they thought it was all about them, right? It was just for the Jew. In fact, Paul spent much of his life persecuting the Christians because he was a strict Jew by law. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul knew the law. Paul was a religious man. When Paul got saved, he didn't change religions. You understand that, right? He didn't convert from one religion to another religion. When Paul got converted, he just realized that Jesus was the God he was worshiping. Right? He didn't change religions. He realized who Jesus was, and he started worshiping Jesus, who is God. Okay? But the great mystery was how in the world, what was Paul doing out there preaching among the Gentiles? Us. That's the great mystery of the church. That's what God had in mind when he invited us in. Right? We talked about that the other night. We read that in Acts about how Paul went to the Gentiles. I'm glad he did. Amen. So in this particular chapter, he's dealing with that. In verse 6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. He's talking to the Jews. He's letting them know that us Gentiles are part of the same body of Christ and partakers of his promise in Christ. By what? The gospel.
Amen.
Amen. And then he went on to say in verse 8 that I should preach among them, or preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But I want you to look at the last two verses of this chapter. And I'm not going to keep you long tonight. We'll get out of here on time, whatever that means. I don't know what on time is, but we'll get out of here in a few moments. Paul writes in verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray together and we'll look at the scriptures. Father, thank you again for an opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for these dear people who've took time out of their busy schedule. I'm sure many of them have worked a long work day. And Lord, they've rushed home and got ready for church and come. And Lord, we're thankful that they would do that. They honor you by being here tonight. And I pray that for just a few moments now that we would not care about the things of this world, not about work, school, family, or whatever may be pressing on our minds, but Lord, for a few moments, that we'd focus all of our attention upon you tonight. And Lord, that you'd be honored with what's said, what's done. And Lord, we know you will honor your word tonight. And we'll thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm interested in this phrase in verse 20, especially when it says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Now, I, like you, I ask for a lot of things. I remember my pastor, Dr. Seidler, he made this statement one time. He said, "The Lord has given me everything I've ever asked him for." And I thought, wow, what a statement. That tells me he wasn't asking for himself. He was asking for the ministry's sake. And the Lord answered those prayers over and over and over again. I can ask for a lot. You can ask for a lot of things. If we took time tonight and we had prayer requests, I would dare say every single person in this building, you could raise your hand or you could stand and voice something that's going on in your life, something that you need, something that involves you, your family, your work, your circumstances, someone else, a friend. But you could stand up and voice a request of prayer that we could ask God to do. I can think of, my mind is racing right now. I'm thinking of all the things in the ministry and things with our work in China and people and getting things where they're supposed to be, and all those things run through my mind, and I'm continually asking the Lord to work those things out for his good. I can ask for a lot of things tonight. But notice the next phrase. Above all that we ask or think. Now, Pastor, I'm not going to pretend that I understand that one. It tells me that we serve a God tonight that's so great and so powerful that he can do for you and provide for you beyond that that you can even think about tonight. And I've got a pretty good, pretty large imagination. I can imagine a lot of things. I may get out on the limb sometime thinking, imagining, so just thinking up these things. But my God is so great and so powerful that he can go beyond anything that I could ask or anything that I could even think. Do we serve a great God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we may think, well, can the Lord provide this for me, or the Lord can do this? Oh, he did it for somebody else, but he can't do it for me, and I just don't think he's able. I just don't think so. Can I reassure you tonight? Our God is more than able. Our God is more powerful. Yes, he can do more than you can ask for or that you can even think tonight. Let me give you some examples. Turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, let's begin about verse 19. I want to read these verses to you, and then we'll go back and we'll pick up some things that Jesus wanted to and offered to his disciples that he said that he would give to them. Let's start reading in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they shall be retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I'm not going to read all the verses. You know the story. Thomas was not there. They told him about Jesus coming. He didn't believe it. He said, I'll have to see it for myself. I'll have to put my hand into the prince and his side. And I'll have to physically handle him and see it before I'll ever believe. And what happened? Jesus showed up again and Thomas was there. So you never know what you're going to miss when you don't come to church. Amen. Thomas missed Jesus. Amen. All right? That's another sermon. But this time, Thomas is there. And Jesus shows up and he shows himself to Thomas. And Thomas realized this is truly Jesus. Amen? This is him. He's risen from the grave. Our Lord is alive. But Jesus is meeting with his disciples. And he's talking with them. They're in fear. They're just like that group last night we were talking about with Peter, and the church was hiding out. They were hiding in fear. Here's the same thing with the disciples. Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. As far as they knew, they didn't understand all this stuff that he had been teaching them. Yet, the light's starting to come on. They didn't understand all of that. They're in fear. They're hiding. They think they're next, and they probably would be. Jesus has been with them these 3.5 years, and now he's dead. He's gone. It's all over. They thought they were going to rule and reign with him there in Jerusalem, right then and there, and now it's all over. But Jesus shows up. He appears unto them. I find four things in this passage that Jesus is willing to give to his disciples, but he's also willing to give to you and to me as we go out into this world and try to live a Christian life. So what are they? Let's look at them. Verse 19 is where I find the first one. It says, the same evening, being the first day of the week, they were meeting on Sunday. It's time to go to church. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, notice this, peace be unto you. The very first thing he says to them is peace. Why did he say that? They were in turmoil. They were in fear. Their lives was just turned upside down. You ever felt like that? Is anyone here like that tonight? Your life is just turned upside down. No matter which way you turn, it's not right. It doesn't work out. This is wrong. It's just not happening. Preacher, I don't know what I'm trying to do right. I just don't understand it. My life's a mess. It's upside down. Can I tell you tonight? Can I help encourage you tonight? Jesus can walk into the middle of that storm of your life and say, peace. And no one can say it like him. Why? Because he can really give peace in the time of storm. They were afraid. They had a right to be afraid. Their lives were messed up. I mean, they were fearful. And Jesus walked into the midst of them and said, disciples, friends, I can give peace to you tonight in spite of your circumstances. They thought he was dead. They thought he was gone. But no, he gave peace. I wondered when I read that, the first thing I thought of, I wondered if their minds immediately went back to that night they were on the sea and the storms were raging and they thought they were going to die that night. And Jesus is with them. He's in the bottom of the boat asleep and they think it's over. We're going to die out here on the sea. And Jesus, they went and got him and he just walked out. What did he say? Peace. And immediately the storm, it's gone. They marveled at what manner of man is this, they said, that even the winds and the waves will obey him. Can I encourage you tonight, if you're in the midst of a storm and a battle, if you'll just get as close as you can to Jesus, he can calm the storm. He can bring peace to your life tonight. I've been with those dear brothers and sisters in China, and we've been in some places where they've met in secret, and they've met behind closed doors, and I've been allowed to go to some of those services with them, not always, but in some of the areas where it can be dangerous, and they would let me come in, and I would look on their faces, and I'd be looking around, and I was somewhat fearful. I mean, of course, I'm 6'3", I'm very white, I'm bald-headed, I stick out in China, of course, but I mean, I was a little fearful. And they would sing songs and they would testify and they'd pray for one another and they had the peace of God in spite of the persecution, in spite of the difficulties. Only God can give that. Right? He can give peace to your life. We've been just on the news. My heart goes out to these families and with this plane crash that just happened. I mean, their lives is in turmoil right now. I don't know all the circumstances and details, and we may never know, but their lives is in turmoil right now. Would you think that they would need peace in their life right now? Yes. The news media won't give it. The government won't give it. The airlines won't give it. They won't find peace in it. Some of them may turn to alcohol or turn to a pill or turn to some other form of what they think can give them comfort. That won't work tonight. But the peace of God will. Amen. Jesus is willing to give you peace in your life tonight. Paul wrote in Romans, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace that passeth all understanding. That means you just don't understand how it works. That's my God. That's how he works. Look at the next one, verse 20. He gives them something else. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. What did he give to them? He gave to them joy that day. Our Lord is a joy giver. You know, we all know, we've heard there's a difference between happiness and, you know, we can be happy, but joy surpasses that. I can have joy in the midst of a storm. I can have joy in the midst of a battle. I can be going through a difficult time in my life, but I can have the peace of God and I can have joy inside. Isn't it amazing when the Lord walks into a situation, when the Lord walks into a service, it immediately brings joy? Amen. Right? We've all been to services. I've been to them. I've even preached messages. And I get through and I think, boy, I struck out tonight. Boy, that was terrible. Everybody was just going through the motions. You know, you've been to services like that. But don't you know the difference when the Lord shows up in the middle of a service? It messes up the program. It gets the songs out of order. Preacher gets his points out of order. It just gets juicy. It gets good and just joy. And you can see it through the congregation. It just kind of moves through. And you know, someone's over here and they're crying, but they're laughing at the same time. Well, that's just messed up, isn't it? How does somebody cry and smile and laugh at the same time? Well, the joy of the Lord fills their heart and fills their soul. Jesus said unto them, I'll give you joy. And when Jesus showed up, they were glad. Amen. Right? I want Jesus to show up in my services. I want Jesus to show up in my life. I want Jesus to show up in my circumstances. Whatever I'm going through, I want to be able to give it to Him, and He shows up in the middle of it and just makes me glad.
Amen.
Amen. Happy, happy. What was that song? Yeah. Right. The disciples were glad. They thought He was dead, but He's alive. That should make us glad tonight. It made them glad. I remember the prodigal son. Remember the story? You know the story. You could tell it yourself. And when that prodigal come home, it made that father glad. They made merry. They put on a party. They was happy. They were glad because this one had come home. Jesus will give you joy in your heart. I find another one in verse 3, or verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me." Notice this, "even so send I you." You know what He give them next? He give them work to do. Now, we get a lot of amens when we say, "Well, we need peace." Yes, Lord, I need peace in my life. Lord, I'm sad and it's tough and it's hard. I need joy and I want to shout and praise the Lord and just have a wonderful time. Amen. We get amens there. And then, boom, the next verse, He says, "Now, whoa, wait a minute, fellas. I got some work for you to do." No, everybody's not sitting on the front row now. There's work to be done. He gave them a job to do. What was their job? Their job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what He commissioned them to do. This particular group. He also gave that commandment to each and every one of us. I told you you're going to get a missionary message this week. I mean, that's... Right? He gave that same commandment. He didn't give a suggestion. He didn't give a pattern. He gave a commandment.
Amen.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He goes, "Well, Brother Robbie, does that mean all of us have got to get on an airplane and go with you to China?" Well, you can. That's wonderful. I'll take you. But you can also go to China. You can go to Brazil. You can go to the countries in Africa, Canada, Papua New Guinea. I was back there looking in the vestibule of the letters and all the places where those missionaries are serving tonight. Do you know what? This local church, this local assembly has parts in all of those mission works. And if you're part of this local church or another local church and you've got those missionaries on the wall, they're not out there just to decorate the wall. They're an extension of this church. For those who either can't or not willing to or not able, I understand all those things. Everybody can't go to some foreign mission field. If everybody went, there wouldn't be anybody to send anybody. I understand that. But God allows them to go through this local church, and you have a part in it. Provided that you're praying for them, provided you're giving. Right? That's how you go into all the world and preach the gospel around the world tonight. But, whoa, there's a little bit more to it. The missionary is not doing the work for you. Can I say that again? The missionary is not doing the work for you. The pastor tonight is not doing the work of the ministry for you. He should be doing the work of the ministry through you. That puts an obligation on every one of us tonight. Right? We're all to be missionaries. We're all to go into all the world because the last time I checked, all the world was right across the street too. All the world is the fellow we work with every day. All the world's that person we go to school with. All the world's the family that we know are lost and undone without God. That's part of the world, and that's our job to go and reach them as well. As a kid growing up, I just thought about it. As a kid growing up at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we had a large ministry. Still is a large ministry, but back in the 70s, it was thriving. And some publication, some magazine, I don't remember which one it was, but I was just a kid, but some magazine come out with the top 100 Sunday schools in all of America. And these churches started booming in different cities. And Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina was named one of the top 100 Sunday schools in all of America. And I was in a meeting just a couple of years ago, and I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and after the service, the pastor and I were out eating a meal, and someone come into the restaurant, and the pastor I was with recognized the fellow. He said, he waved at him, he come to the table. He said, "I want you to meet Brother Robbie Mullinax. He's one of our missionaries, and he's in the States right now, and he's working in China," and he introduced me to this fellow. And he said, "Well, where's home to you, Robbie?" And I said, "Well, home is Greenville, South Carolina. I'm out of Tabernacle Baptist Church." And as soon as I said that, he goes, "Tabernacle, Dr. Harold Seidler's church?" I went, "Yes, sir." He said, "Let me tell you a story." I didn't know if it was going to be a good one or not. He said, "I was a journalism student, and in the mid-70s, I worked for a magazine. And they published the top 100 Sunday schools in all of America." And I said, "I remember that because there's a plaque in our office that still commemorates that particular year." I said, "I remember that. I was a kid, but I remember that." He said, "Well, I was commissioned by the magazine to go out and interview every one of those pastors, 100 pastors across the United States, and to write a follow-up article on every one of those churches." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yes." He said, "I came to Greenville, South Carolina, and made an appointment with Dr. Harold Seidler, your pastor, and I met with him and interviewed him as a follow-up to having one of the 100 top Sunday schools." I said, "Well, that's interesting." He said, "Oh, yeah, it was real interesting." He said, "Let me tell you how that conversation went." I'm going, "Uh-oh." No, it wasn't bad. He said, I made the appointment and said, I went to his office. I sat down in front of him. I told him who I was again. He knew I was coming, why I was there. He said, "I just have some questions for you, Pastor. I won't take up much of your time. I'm doing a follow-up article." He said, "Okay." He said, "My first question was," he said, "I noticed when I drove up," said, "I noticed you have a number of buses out in the parking lot." He said, "Can you tell me briefly about your bus ministry? How are you reaching this community with your bus ministry?" And he said, "Dr. Seidler looked at me, he said, son," he said, "be honest with you, we don't have a bus ministry." He said, "Well, we've got some buses," he said, "but those buses are used to pick up some of our elderly people and some families that can't get to church." And so we use our buses to pick up our people in our congregation that just don't have a way to get to church. He went, "Okay, that's interesting." He said, "Well, let me ask you this, another question." He said, "Tell me about your children's church." He said, "I see all these buildings back here." And he said, "Tell me a little bit about your youth pastor and your children's church, how you have that organized." You know, he said, "Dr. Seidler looked at him, he said, son," he said, "we don't have a children's church." He said, "We just have a traditional Sunday school. When they get through a Sunday school, everybody comes in the auditorium and I preach to them." He said, "Okay." He said, well, "let me ask you this. My next question is," he said, "tell me about your visitation program. Do you have a visitation pastor? And do you have a certain night, Tuesday night, Thursday? How do you organize that, you know, your visitation program when you evangelize and reach out to this community? How do you do that? Tell me." He said, "Dr. Seidler looked at him and he said, son, we don't have an organized visitation program." He said, "Really?" He goes, "No, we don't do that here." He said, "I had some other questions." He said, "But I just put my pad down." He said, "Dr. Seidler," he said, "let me ask you something else." He said, this is one of the 100 largest Sunday schools in all of America. And you don't have a bus program, and you don't have a children's program, children's church, and you don't have a visitation program. So how in the world are you getting all these people here?" And he said, I'll never forget what Dr. Seiler told me. He said, son, he said, son, I don't want you to misunderstand me. He said, there's nothing wrong with any of those things that you mentioned. He said, they're wonderful, they're fine. He said, we just never done that here at Tabernacle. He said, because, he said, our people come here and they get saved and they go back to work and they tell their co-worker what the Lord did for them. And they go back to their community and they tell their neighbors what the Lord did for them. And they go back to school and they tell their schoolmates what the Lord did for them. He said, they just witness to the people around them. And those people want to, so they see how they changed. And they want to come see where it happened. And he said, you know, I think that's kind of how it should be. Right? Right? Again, nothing wrong with all the programs. I'm all for the programs. They're great. As long as the programs are getting the gospel out, as long as we're busy doing that, we've got work to do. Jesus told his disciples, I got a job for you to do. You've got to get busy. As I said the other night, what's your job? You have it? You know what it, do you know what it is? He's a work giver tonight. One more and I'm done. Look at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Some in our Baptist churches, they're afraid of that word, the Holy Ghost. They're afraid of that. Well, if you're going to have peace in your heart, you're going to have joy, and you're going to do all this work, whatever it is. See, Jesus understood that. He understood them, and he knew the next thing. He knew Thomas or somebody was going to stand up and say, well, how are we going to do all this, Lord? You ever heard that before in church? Preacher gets up, he has this plan, we're going to do this, and somebody goes, well, how are we going to do that, preacher? Well, he had the answer. He said, I'm going to give you the power to do what I've asked you to do. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that lives within you will give you the power to do what God asked you to do. Not your power, not your strength. You can't do it. When you say, preacher, I can't do that. Really, you're being honest. But it's the power of God that works through you. That's why, again, I'm going back to a former message. That's why many times God uses the unlikely ones. Because it gives him the glory. Because we look at that person and say, well, there's no way that person can do this. And yet the power of God works through them. And they accomplish things that they could never do on their own. He can... the Spirit of God can fill and use a 12-year-old boy, a 16-year-old girl, a middle-aged, an elderly person. It doesn't matter to him. It's that person that's willing. God, use me, fill me, let me do things that I can't do. And the Spirit of God will give you the power to go out these doors and be a witness for him. Amen. I was looking on the news the other night. I saw they were doing a special on the Tomahawk missile. And they showed that missile and told how it would go 550, 600 miles an hour. They told the power that it had. And they showed this little kid and he's back in a hole somewhere looking at a computer screen. He's got a PlayStation or Nintendo or something, what it looked like to me. Just looked like a kid. And he's controlling that Tomahawk missile. And they showed a target that was hundreds of miles away. Showed a window about like this, 12 by 12. And that Tomahawk missile zeroed in on that window and exploded an entire building. And they were hundreds of miles away. What power? That's man's power. In a few weeks, I'm going to get on a 747. It's going to have 300 and something people on it. It's going to be loaded down with tons of cargo and baggage. It's going to have a 4 or 5 man crew of pilots. It's going to have 12 or 15 flight crew, and it's going to have enough food on it to feed us 2 or 3 times. And that thing's going to take off the air, out of the air. I don't understand how it does that. Still don't know how it does that. 4 huge jet engines. And man, it goes down that runway, and it's a rumbling and rumbling, and whoo, right off it takes. And we'll be in the air for 16 and a half hours. 16 and a half hours, nonstop. It'll fly not around this globe, it flies over. It's shorter to go over than it is around. We'll go over Canada, and we'll go over part of the North Pole, come over the Baltic Sea, and part of Russia, and Japan, and it goes back down, and then there's a landing strip that Hong Kong built out in the middle of the ocean. They just build up land and build a landing strip and an airport out there, and it might be cloudy and dark, and boom, he'll just set that thing down out of nowhere, and we'll land, the Lord willing. That's power. But that's man's power. God's power supersedes that infinitely. The power of God that can change a soul, change a life, that can take someone that's nothing, that they said would never be anything, never do anything, and God will clean them up, change their life. Amen. Boy, they come walking in with joy on their face and peace in their heart, and God gives them a job to do, and they do it for the glory of God. That's power. That's power. Man can't change anyone, but our God can. Right, that's power tonight. And the Lord is willing to give that power to you. So what do I have to do to get it? Be a clean, willing vessel. Say, Lord, I give my life to you. Take it. Use it. Wherever, whatever. You pray that prayer, God will fill you with His power and accomplish things you would never imagine. You. Let's stand together tonight.